Ah, there you are. We've been waiting for you. If you've been struggling to get your personal fitness on track and keep it there, then you're in the perfect place. Because this guy is good. And I mean really good. You're listening to the Fitness Whisperer podcast, where you get simplified strategies and unique insights on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and life itself from best-selling author and progressive fitness innovator, Joey Atlas. He's been helping people achieve sustainable fitness success for over 30 years in ways that are realistic, doable, and super effective. And now he's helping you. So clear your mind and get ready for a powerful dose of health-improving, life-enhancing wisdom from the fitness whisperer himself, Joey Atlas.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you for tuning in. Yes, this is Joey Atlas again, back, finally, with the Fitness Whisperer episode number 11. I think it's been about 3 freaking months since the last episode, and a lot going on here. The last episode was during the summer, and I just got overwhelmed, really busy with everything going on, and I had no shortage of things to talk about. I have notes that would surprise anybody. And I had other things I wanted to talk about on this episode, but life unfolds as such that different topics come to the surface and other ones will get pushed to later, which is fine. But today, I've got a very special guest, and I'm going to save the other stuff for the end. When we wrap up, I'll give you all the typical stuff toward the end. So anybody new listening in can get all the freebies, all the exercise videos, all the travel fitness videos and such. And I'll share those links at the end. But for now, I've got a very special guest. I've got my brother. I call him Dommy Dom. His official name is Dominic. Dom is on the other line. So Dommy Dom, thank you for making the time for this, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so happy to be part of this. This is great.
Awesome. Good stuff. Awesome. So let's put this into context for people listening. Depending on how long people have been listening, some of them, if they've been around like since 2006, when I started doing the online stuff, they may have seen photos or blog posts where I've included you in some silly pictures or talked about some things we've done. But anybody new may not know of you just yet. So I'm going to give some background info and let everybody know. Why the hell is his brother Dommy Dom on this podcast? All right. So for anybody who doesn't know, my brother is basically living the fitness journey just like I am. And in certain respects, he's got some specialties that are stronger than mine. And I have some that are stronger than his. And together we complement each other in some very cool ways. So he got into fitness kind of the same way I did because our dad was doing it and I started doing it. And Dominic being 3 years behind me, 3 years younger than me, he got into it. You were probably what? Was it 16, 17?
I was, yeah. Yeah, I was about 16. I was, most of my time was occupied by playing a lot of soccer. Mm-hmm. So when I was just about finding a little extra free time, I started, delving into other aspects of fitness. So sure. Around 16 is when I started going to, the gym as well.
Right. Right. So, Dom, like me, is what, about 5'2" on a good day. You might even be taller than me now.
I stretch it out to 5'3".
Yeah. I'm 5'4" sometimes.
That's pushing actually. It though. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am. So Dom was, he like, unlike me, so I had the thick, husky build as a kid, was called Pudgy, Fat Boy, all the good stuff that,
you know. Of course, I didn't use those names.
No, of course
never.
Not.
Never.
SOB. And so Dom had the lean build. He was lean, thin, skinnier, and he was actually really skinny up until he started weight training and resistance training and getting into the gym stuff. He did a lot of running. He trained a lot for soccer. He was an awesome soccer player. He still had some has some mad skills. that's a story for another day. We'll actually circle back on all that because there's some lessons in that. But he did start training when he saw the effect of working out, eating slightly differently. And he basically, his body changed. I mean, within a year or two, like you could see this kid was working out and it was awesome. And you've been hooked ever since.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, playing soccer at that time too, it helped to pack on a little more muscle so I wouldn't get pushed off the ball.
Right.
As easily. So it definitely helped me.
Sports conditioning.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Yeah, good stuff. So from then, like me, the fitness journey evolved into more of a health and wellness focused approach to exercise and eating right. Not so much for the physique and the vanity aspect of it. And because of that, Dominic has really dug into the nutritional food side of things. And he's constantly reading labels, researching, creating recipes. He's an awesome cook. And pleasure. We'll have to do some combo recipes at some point.
Sure.
So on the professional side, Dominic went into coaching and training people like I did. And that's what he's been doing for the last, what is it, like 20 something years now?
20 some odd years, yeah.
Right. So Dominic is in the suburbs of New York, just north of the city. So he serves the Westchester, New York area, Rye, Scarsdale, Larchmont.
Fairfield County in Connecticut County. As well.
So Greenwich, South Stamford. Of course, high earning areas, people with lots of disposable income and a very high need for proper fitness coaching because of the high demand lifestyles they lead. And so that's where I used to be. Some of you listening may already know that. That's where Dominic is still. I'm down in Florida now. So over the years, Dominic's had a chance to work with many different types of people, young, mature, male, female, way out of shape, former athletes, you name it. He's been able to work with them. He still does now. And because of that, he's been able to do a lot of work with people's home and office fitness areas and home gyms.
Right.
So that's why we decided to do this episode, because of my personal situation in making a transition from a 3,000 square foot house with three garages down to a like a 1,200 square foot townhome with one garage, and all the changes, good changes that is bringing, and the change in the home gym scenario that I have to navigate through. And so calling on my brother Dom to help me brainstorm some things and consider a few options and get some input from him was perfect. And we were actually just going to do this on an unrecorded call, but I thought, oh, wait a minute, this could be great for the Fitness Whisperer podcast episode number 11. So we said, okay, cool, let's do it. And it's a Saturday evening. What is it, like 6:45, Saturday night?
Just about, yeah.
October.
Living it up on a Saturday.
That's it. This is what we do. So we'll circle back. I have some questions on some of the home gym scenarios you've been involved in, and sure, maybe even the office scenarios. I know I've got some stories to share as well, sure, but there'll be some good insights for anybody listening to this with all the different scenarios we've been involved in. But first, I want to get into my scenario, knock out some good answers, share that with the listeners so that they can get some insights and perspectives to put into use. And so I'll start with, did you see the pictures I sent you a little while ago?
I did, yes.
Right, yeah. So one of them is the frog. Did you see the frog?
I got the frog.
All right, so the frog, we've got all kinds of animals here. And that frog was hanging out by the front door. he was still sleeping, as you could see, because it's not like the sun hasn't gone down yet and the mosquitoes aren't out. Once the sun goes down and the mosquitoes are out, those things wake up and they start jumping all over the front door to eat the mosquitoes. But that was picture perfect timing there. I had to get him. And the other picture, the other photo was of Dara standing in the garage area of the townhouse where we're going to be putting this home gym space into effect. And so I wanted you to see that so that you have some context of what we're talking about and any ideas that can come of what we need to cover here. So, okay. So what you're looking at is basically a 12 and a half feet across, and then about 14 from front to back foot space. All right. So you see the shelves over anybody listening, what I'll do is I'll put this photo in the show notes for this episode. So if you want to see the space in this photo, there's also going to be video footage of this as well. So, but if you want to see the photo, come to thejoeyatlas.com. In the upper right, you can click on shows. Then you can click on the Fitness Whisperer, and you can scroll through the episodes and look for the home gym episode with Brother Dom. So I've got that space. Now here's context. All right. I've got at the house we're in now, before we move into the townhouse here in a week, you know, you've been there, you've trained with me.
Yes.
The gym is in the living room area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most other people have their sofa stuff with the plastic wrap on it. So like it's the formal living room area where nobody uses, right? So that's the home gym. And the other half is the office area, which most people call a dining room, but we don't need a dining room. So that's the office area. We use that area for the mats as well. So we've got the 3-car garage that we're going down into one. So as you know, I'm selling the 2 cars that are in the other 2 garages, and then the 1 garage space that is technically going to have to be this space. We're basically just getting rid of a lot of crap we haven't touched in a few years. It's just accumulated and we don't need it. We've grown out of it. And it's, you know, it's just sitting there.
Due to purge.
That's it. It's time to purge.
Yeah.
So the 2 cars are up for sale. Life brings changes. Those cars were nice goals in the past, but now my goals have changed. And I'm putting a lot of energy into this podcast. I'm putting energy into the Sculpt-A-Fit studio concept and growing that. And I'm putting more energy into getting the Sculpt-A-Bod Genius home gym units into people's homes, wherever they live, regardless, anywhere in the world. So those cars have to go up for sale. My energy and focus has to shift. And these are the new goals. So this is all by design and all perfectly in line with where I'm going. So the cars will go. They'll be up on eBay Motors, Craigslist, etc. Some proud owners will have them. The other stuff is mostly either getting donated to Goodwill. Some of it we will take here to the townhouse because there are a couple items that we do need, like our bicycles. So those 2 bicycles will have to go into the garage space you see the photo in. And a lot of other stuff is actually going up for sale in our community garage sale, which serendipitously is the weekend that we move next weekend. So we'll do a garage sale, get rid of a bunch of things, and we will donate whatever's left over, and then we'll have our essentials that we'll finish moving into the townhouse, because we're actually about halfway moved into the townhouse here. We were given early access to it, so we were able to transition over slowly, and then the last, like the beds and the gym units, will come over next weekend.
You could use some of the funds from the sale of your items at the tag sale to furnish your gym.
Exactly. So that takes me to my main concerns that I would love your input on. So what's nice is that you can see the garage is pretty clean. The owner actually did some finishing on the floor, which it's not very slippery. It has some grit to it, which is good depending on the direction we go for what we're going to put on there. So I have 3 main concerns. First one is floor. All right. Second concern is lighting. Mm-hmm. Third concern is ventilation.
Yes.
So if we rewind to the floor, as you know, I'm a big fan of working out barefoot or with socks. And so that's the main reason the stock garage floor, even though it's clean and finished, isn't going to work. The other reason is I love to do a lot of floor work, even if it's just laying down on a good tight carpet to stretch or to do core work or to do whatever. And also for the feel of it. I like the homey feel of a good soft type of flooring. And that's why I'm going in that direction. So I'm open to hearing your ideas before I share mine with what you think might be some good economical and non-VOC or low VOC volatile or volatile organic compound type of flooring that we could put in that garage. What are your thoughts?
Well, quite honestly, there's no shortage of options. And as you mentioned before, when you think about all the places you've been in, and clearly I've been in many in my neck of the woods, and I've seen places that would rival any top-notch gym, commercial gym. So, but having said that, you know, you have to think about one of the first things is obviously a budget. And with that, you think about what some of your goals are, which you mentioned. You prefer to work out barefoot, and clearly you're going to be utilizing your Atlas unit. And so
Sculpted by Genius, yes, we're calling it.
Yes, all right. So, you know, you have a designated space for this, which is your garage. And so as I mentioned before, yes, no shortage of options. And the thing with this is, you know, coming from a health and fitness standpoint, if you think about doing a renovation or building out a space, you think about what you're putting in your body, on your body, but also the living space. The problem is a lot of times this comes at a big cost. So when you're trying to search out, you know, low VOCs, paints are something that is, you know, across the board readily available. So those are relatively inexpensive. It doesn't really seem like you need to paint out that space.
No.
But you might want to think about, you know, painting your logo if you wanted to have a feature wall. And again, of course, you seek out those low VOCs, which are readily available everywhere. When you talk about flooring, there are definitely some options. There are one of the biggest things you see is obviously the rubber flooring is very common for any type of gym. And if you think about specifically garage gym, it might be a little more associated with maybe a CrossFit community or a little more hardcore. So it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to, you know, train that way if you had a rubber floor. You also don't have to have a rubber floor to train. So there are many, many options. One of the, again, when we talk about budget, one of the most budget-friendly things you can do is if you consider that space, it's obviously indoors, but you have a garage bay that you open, you might be in and out, is considering an indoor-outdoor rug. And again, so you could do a quick Google search, and maybe we'll put some links up or some specific routes that people can pursue if they were interested in
that. Well, on that note, let me ask you this. Like when you say indoor outdoor rug, like immediately I'm thinking the green AstroTurf type thing.
So thanks for asking.
No,
that's not what I'm talking about. So
you
might see, you know, I mean, your local Target, Walmart, Costco, and then all the, you know, major home furnishings companies like Pottery Barn, to name, you know, one. They all carry these indoor-outdoor rugs, and they're typically made of a synthetic material. It's usually like a nylon base or what's called polypropylene. So there's a little bit of an issue in that, and you know, that they're made with you know, they're petroleum based, or there could be some off gassing. But I have looked into this, and if you're in a well ventilated area, it's really not that much of a concern. Though I do, if you have the option and you have the funds, I would prefer to look at something else that's suitable for indoor outdoor, like a natural base. Like wool rugs are actually pretty resilient, but they're expensive. They can be expensive. But with a little research, you might be able to find something that's suitable. And again, there, I did look a little bit, quickly, so I can share some of that with you. There's also sisal rugs, and that's a typically like a woven type look.
Yeah, I did see some of those.
Bamboo, seagrass. These are all some of the other materials that are natural materials. And they've managed to be able to produce them with a little more of a soft underfoot. Years ago, you would, they were not too comfortable walking on those initial versions of sisal rugs, but there are many options, that you can find that are, you know, might really do the job. They're aesthetically pleasing. They could provide really, nice, warm, inviting, space. For you to, you know, put your equipment in and, you know, do everything you've been doing in your previous space, you know, that soft underfoot carpet, that homey feel.
So with, like, I'm just thinking, okay, this sounds awesome.
Yeah.
You think I'd be able to get a piece cut to size, or would I have to get?
You can search, you can find them online. They're bound. You know, the edges are bound, so you could, you know, measure out your space and think out how much space you want. The whole garage, you said, is a little over 12 feet by 14. Mm-hmm. I doubt you'll need all of that space.
Right.
I mean, really, you don't need all that space. It's nice to have it if you have the option, but I'm sure there will be some other stuff in there.
Yeah.
So you can do a search. You know, for example, I did look a little bit and saw that you could find a 6x9 rug on Overstock and Amazon. And if you did non-toxic area rug, so you want to really key on it, because you could spend hours looking. So you really want to key in and you know, do a search that'll lead you in the direction you want to go, which is something like non-toxic or eco-friendly rugs. Those are two phrases I would type in.
Don't lose your train of thought, because I want to, like, for you and I, like, talking like this is very, very common. Mm-hmm. Like the non-toxic, eco-friendly, no VOCs. Yes. Like, this is normal for us. But, and for some listeners, it might be, but there may be a few listeners who are like, what the hell are these guys talking about? So I'll put a little info into that. When Dom and I are talking about non-toxic, eco-friendly, low VOCs, basically we're talking about looking for products that are basically natural or non-synthetic or don't have additives. They're not made with additives for making the cost of production cheaper or faster to produce. So here's an example. A few years ago, it was ready time for me to buy a new couch. I grew up with certain sensitivities. I don't know if I had asthma as a kid, but I definitely had some kind of allergies that we weren't aware of. I just knew I had some things going on. Looking back, I may have had some kind of asthma, but I knew I had different kinds of sensitivities, definitely in my airways and my skin. And then learning about all this internal health and fitness stuff and what we put in our bodies, et cetera, made me and Dom more aware of paying attention to the things that we surround ourselves with and the way things are made. So this couch issue, when it was time to buy a new couch, I started thinking, well, in years past with my previous wives, et cetera, we would shop for a couch at your traditional furniture maker and it would be delivered and it would smell to high heaven for a few weeks. And we never really thought about it. Like, it just smelled because it was new, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we never really knew what the smell was. And in our adulthood here, with the health and fitness focus that we have, we started researching, why is it that all these things smell for a few weeks? And what is that smell? Right. So we come to learn that these are the chemicals mostly that these things are made with and made from, and the recipes that go into the foams and how the fabrics are made and produced and preserved, and the colorings and such. So started to become much more aware of that and looking into the effects on people, long-term effects and reports from various types of people and organizations, taking a closer look at what is it, EWO or EW?
I think EWC.
EWC, one of these organizations, the Environmental World something. We can actually find a link for that. But you start looking at all this information and complaints and studies and, you know, we're not far into civilization, so we're only starting to learn about things that are not good for us. You know, we're still early on. So anyway, I start researching this couch stuff, and you start, you know, Dom, sure, finding these companies that are making, quote unquote, all natural furniture, all natural beds, all natural couches, where the woods are minimally treated, if any, minimally preserved, or they're actually harvested and formed with natural methods so that no chemicals are needed or natural compounds are used. And likewise, these couches, the foams that go into them, the formaldehydes, the various things that are used for locking in the color into the fabrics, etc. All these things that go into it, you start learning that there are companies that are making things without all of those potentially toxic compounds in, which are, the name is VOCs, volatile organic compounds. And some, I think California has banned at least one or a few of them.
Yes, like, they have. Yeah, they're very progressive. Right? Yes.
Yeah. So
they
California,
continue to research and.
Right. Right. So I have this fantastic couch. Yes, I paid relatively a lot for it compared to other couches, but I knew that on movie night, or if we were just relaxing or watching sports, we're not big TV people here, but we do use the couch sometimes. I knew that I wanted that couch to be something that we could feel good sitting or laying down on. And so I spent the extra money after doing the research of the top all natural furniture producers in the US. And so basically I speak about this so that we can, I could put what Dom and I are talking about into context for anybody listening about this all natural stuff, this no chemical stuff, this non-toxic stuff, this no VOC stuff. So same thing applies to what we're talking about now, flooring, especially flooring. I'll let you take over, Dom, and shed some light on the flooring issue and what we're aiming for here.
Sure. Okay. So, I mean, we essentially touched on, one option of flooring, which is the rug. And, you know, as I mentioned, certainly many, many options. You know, the one thing you have to consider too is you know, these polypropylene style outdoor rugs that are, you know, readily available, they're similar to a high quality wool feel, a lot of them. And they're not necessarily made just for outdoor. You could do a search and you find all these fancy, beautiful looking rugs for a pretty reasonable price. And it's because they're able to mass produce these relatively inexpensively.
Right.
But, you know, when you have a garage space, you're only going to be in there for a short time, right?
Right.
It's not a living space. You're going to be in there to work out. So I don't really see it as a major concern. But as I mentioned before, if you know, it was in the budget to, you know, seek out something that was natural and you had that option, it's a good way to go. But it, by all means, it's an acceptable material to use in a garage.
Right. So the one thing I like, my main concern with the rug would be the off-gassing period. Okay. And so what I would do is
look at some of those natural options I mentioned, like the sisal, jute, and
I would also consider, like, I would find out what the off-gassing period is. So if they said, well, it's 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I would actually probably think about getting it, laying it out on the back patio, because this time of year here is pretty nice. There's minimal rain.
Yes.
I would lay it out on the back patio flat.
That's a great idea.
Let it off gas for a couple weeks.
Sure.
And then once it's off gas enough, then I would bring it around and put it in the garage.
Mm-hmm. I have in the past called manufacturers and asked, you know, questions, and sometimes they get a little thrown off or a little frustrated, but
exactly.
You're the consumer, you want to make an educated decision. So if you find something you like, don't hesitate to call and just ask.
Right.
About their product. Right, cool. So it sounds like some type of rug would be ideal for you if you consider what your previous space was. And moving forward, you can look at that. You know, if you're looking at any other hard material, again, this is a rental space. So obviously you don't want to invest too much money, nor would you have the option of building anything out of significance. Right. You know, there are click style cork floors, which are really warm, really nice.
Yeah.
Relatively inexpensive. Is it cork?
Yeah, Sculpted Fit Studio. We did the click cork, all natural from Portugal.
Yes.
The pricing was awesome.
Yes.
Like it's actually quite amazing how low it's priced, all natural. Naturally antimicrobial, mm-hmm. naturally antibacterial, easy to clean,
it does well
super
with water
durable.
Or moisture.
Yeah, big time. Like it, so, I would actually do that if this was a permanent place.
If you wanted to just do, let's say, a 9x9 area or 8x8, mm-hmm. you can also just do a section, and you would mm-hmm. put your please plug your what I called the Atlas unit, former name is.
Yeah.
Your Sculptabod
unit.
You could still, put it on that, and you could use yoga mats, and there are tons of eco-friendly options as far as yoga mats if you wanted to use those on the cork flooring. Again, it's going to be a little bit more costly than...
So check this out. I have 4 boxes left over from the studio.
Wow.
I don't know...
How many square feet that can cover.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'll have to check that.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be enough there for, I'll have to see it. There may be enough to put under a certain area. It might be under the Sculptabod and enough where like the bench when it's in the extended position. I'll check that out. I'll do my measurements tomorrow. I'll check out what's in the boxes. And that might be a combo effort where we get the cork flooring down,
mm-hmm.
and anybody listening, it's called floating cork. So it clicks in. You don't have to glue it. It floats. And then we could do the rest in.
You would just need a border around it to secure it in place, but it doesn't have to be glued. It's or nailed. It's relatively mm-hmm. simple. And it's quite nice.
Cool, man. All right. So I'll explore those options and we'll stay in touch as time progresses. And then, of course, we're going to be sharing video footage. We're going to be sharing the final product with everybody on video. We're going to do a full walkthrough. So there'll be updates to this. So let's move to the lighting. Okay. So lighting scenario is basically one of those nasty halogen overheads. And so I'm going to look into it at minimum changing the bulbs mm-hmm. so that they're not giving off that crappy, like horror movie type light.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, if you go to, your local Home Depot, Lowe's, or whatever you have in your area, you'll see that there are all different options as far as bulbs, warm. There's also daylight. There's several options. And mm-hmm. Of course, some eco-friendly options as well that apparently don't draw as much energy. You can also think about if you wanted to make that an inviting space is some floor lamps that are adjustable. So you could adjust the height. And again, you could change out those bulbs to suit your needs. And you could find those relatively inexpensively. You could do also some hanging string lights, similar to Christmas style, but they make these big bulbs that are...
Dude, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So,
You know what? Dara's got them in her room.
Oh, yeah.
She's got like these paper ball type, holiday lights, but they're for all year round. That's an awesome idea.
It could be the lantern style string lights, or you could have separate lanterns, white bulbous, paper lanterns that are probably more known to, a little more of an Asian style, but they're certainly a lot more contemporary too. And again, your range, lighting could be very, very expensive. But you can also do a quick search online and find some really reasonable options. There are some places that I do know of And I don't know if I should mention them now or you want to put them up on your site, some links.
We'll do the links later.
For some of this type of material. And, you know, with that, there, it's easy. You know, that's a, you know, if you're doing the string type, you could, you know, plug and string them along. Floor lamps,
yeah,
too,
a great idea.
Where you can cast your light in any direction you want if you do some adjustable floor lamps. And that will really brighten up the space and
give it the ambiance.
Yes. One thing I didn't notice is there a window in the garage?
No, there's not. Which is fine because proper lighting, like we're talking about, could take care of that.
If you prefer, you could open the garage and get screening. Also, they do make these screen rolls that you can roll right across the front of the garage to keep out your local pests.
Right. Certain times of year, I'm going to do that. Because the weather here sometimes is just too perfect not to have that garage open. So those screens are very popular down here because a lot of people use their garages for non-garage use. They actually use it as living space. So those screens are a big seller down here, easy to find. So I'll do some homework to make sure I get a decent one for the one bay we have here.
You might want to consider outfitting that space with some type of big fan to circulate the air.
So check this out, man. Number three on my list here is ventilation, bro. So what do you think about ventilation? So it gets freaking hot here in the summer, right? Which I love. I'm not complaining. It's just a matter of fact. And because we're in Northeast Florida, it can get pretty cold in the winter sometimes. Yeah. The cold I'm not worried about. Like I could get my old school sweatshirts on. But the
dress
heat
up like
could
Rocky.
Be a little.
Like year old.
That's it. Old school. My
old
grays
with stallion on the back.
That's it. Exactly. You know, no problem getting a cheap space heater. You know, get a couple of those, one in each corner. Boom, the Vornados or what are they called?
Vornado.
Those like you could pick those up for nothing. Actually, I might be able to find a few of these things at the garage, the community garage sale next Saturday.
Those are usually more of a premium fan. So, but they're, I have to say, they're great. They're quiet. And they're very efficient. So if you could pick one of those up, that would be great.
What do you think about portable air conditioners? Like the
my experience is that they can be adequate, but they don't operate as well or as efficiently as a window unit. But if that's your only option, and again, it's a 12x14 space, it should probably be fine. The one thing with that is that you have to have an exhaust, so you'd have to have the garage open, or you'd have to make some type of port to exhaust the air outside, the heated.
I may give. So it's getting somewhat cooler here now because of the time of year. I mean, it was freaking 90 today. It was awesome. Like right now, the sun is down. It's perfect out there, but the days can be hot sometimes. Mm-hmm. However, it is getting cooler slowly, and it'll get cooler as the next few weeks progress. So I may try the fans, like one or two good fans first. I saw a few on Amazon, floor fans, for maybe 40 bucks, 18 inches or 20 inches. So I may try one. We think one or two would be...
If you can do two would be ideal. You put them in opposite corners and blow them, you know, so you circulate the air. Basically point them away from each other. See if you can make that, you know, spin around the room and cool you off. Either that or it would be a much more thermogenic workout.
I'm good with that. I just need some air movement to get the sweat evaporating off the skin. What do you think about an air purifier?
That's
Consumer Reports had a bunch of them in this month's issue. And I'm like, maybe an air purifier might come in handy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there apparently are, you know, a whole bunch of options. And from any of the research I'd done in the past, of course, you find some that work better than others. They're great. You know, people tend to get them if they are prone to allergies and they're very aware of some of their sensitivities, or, you know, environmental or stuff from the home. So that can be something you can add if you feel that you're sensitive to it.
Right.
But, you know, to improve your air quality, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that garage door might be opening and closing frequently, so that could be a challenge. Usually those air purifiers are more for a stagnant
indoor
space. Yes.
Stagnant space. Yeah.
So I don't really see a pressing need for that. If at some point down the line you notice that your eyes are itchy or sneezing a little more, maybe it's something you might want to revisit. But probably in keeping in line with the budget, maybe hold off on something like that for that type of space.
Yeah. I think if it was indoors or an inside room, it would make sense.
Yeah.
But it would kind of like be like putting it outside.
Yeah.
The air purifier outside.
And, you know, you might be working out many times with the garage door closed, but still the, I think that's something maybe you would hold off on until you see really how that space works for you. There are some other options, but again, you would have to vent outside. And sometimes it's only, the size of, of a cup or, where you would have to make a hole to exhaust something outside for a dehumidifier or the air conditioning, indoor air conditioning. Mm-hmm. So if you are able to do that, it would much be, make more sense to grab one of those units.
Right.
So you have to kind of really look at that space.
Yep. All right. So looking at the space, covering the essentials we just covered,
your flooring,
is there anything else that I should consider or is there anything that you see that you would say, hey, here, like see the stand up paddleboard up there?
We could go on and on. Yeah. So initially my thought is obviously, what type of budget, which it sounds like you want to keep it as low as possible. I don't know.
I want to keep it as well. Here's my thought process. Like if this was a house that I was buying and going to own for a long time, then I would invest in things that were going to be there permanently. All right. Being that it's not, and that this is only a temporary stay, it might, it might be 3 years. It might be 2 years. If I meet, the ultimate Mrs. Joey Atlas Brady and we make the Brady Bunch, then we may be moving to a bigger house that can handle all of us. So being that this is temporary, whichever way you cut it, I don't want to put things down or put things up that'll be permanent or that will affect, what the landlord is going to charge us for rent if we change the space, whatever. And so because of that, it does tend to keep it on a lower budget. I know that we could still get things that you could put down or put up and remove that could be on the higher end. But all factors considered, I would like to see what we could do on a low budget so that when other people say, hey, what can I do on a low budget? We can say, well, come check this out or come, go online. If you live elsewhere, look at the videos, look at the pictures, look what we've done on a low budget. And that's all you need to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You don't need to spend a fortune. It's nice if you have that option. And that's great too, but by all means, there are certainly some sources and options to that are budget friendly.
It's a new TV show, home gym design.
We're working on it here.
exactly. This is a start.
So the first thing we really discussed was the flooring, and we went through some of those options. And it sounds like, some type of rug would be most suitable to you. And I did mention, putting in a search for non-toxic area rugs or eco-friendly rugs. And I named some of those natural options. I mean, some people can still be allergic to something like wool or some of these other natural materials. So it's not to say someone wouldn't have any adverse reaction to that too. But I think you're better off for sure. We've discussed that. The other thing you brought up was too obviously lighting. And we went through some lighting options with the you know, string lighting or some floor lamps, tall floor lamps that are adjustable. And those were really the two main things you have to look at, and you have what you're planning to put in there, your unit, if you have a bench. And in looking at that space, that picture that you sent, I see me personally, coming from my interest in art and design, I don't like to see clutter. So what you could do, you could get some curtain panels and just pop them over those shelves. Okay. It'll make your space look a little more cleaner. It'll make it look a little more homey. So you don't really feel like you're in a garage. You have, it seems like a hot water heater. You know, there's also the option of doing that there, or you can do, you know, the stand up screens. And just kind of, you know, square that off. It's, you know, you just lift it up and move it. It could be something on wheels. You could have screens on wheels where you just roll it across. There are too, if you were to go the route of looking at, just garage design, I mean, there are a number of companies that manufacture, different storage options and flooring options too, specifically for garage purposes, like your tools and sports equipment and cars. So you have some options, that are that route. They're a little more, maybe not as cozy and comfortable, but there, are some options. Yeah. That are functional options. And, you know, as far as shelving, if you have, you know, bands or suspension trainer or physio ball, there are, you know, your local container store, even your Target, many, many options, online, you know, your Amazon, they have a lot of options as well. You know, there are some creative things you could do too. If you wanted to do a DIY, you could honestly plug in anything. You could make your own bike rack. And you mentioned the bikes before. If your ceiling is, you know, sturdy enough and you have the option, you could put your bikes up on hooks. There are also bike racks that go on the wall. They lie flat, parallel to the wall. And they also have ones where you just pop them up and they're sticking out. So they're basically vertical. So, you know, depending on your space, you know, to maximize your functional space, you know, different bike options are something to consider, bike rack options. But, yeah, so you want to look at your storage options. You want to look at a little bit of the aesthetics to make sure it's a little pleasing if that's an interest of yours, you know, by putting some of those panels over the shelves. They're, as I said, cheap and it's a good solution. It looks nice. A screen maybe in front of the hot water heater. If that's what I was looking at.
Yeah, man. I'm going to keep my eyes open next weekend for the garage sale. I'm going to be cruising around the neighborhood on my bike. I'm going to, even though we have some stuff to sell, I'm going to see if I can get some help.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be a good resource for you to get some stuff. That might be the case.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, and as I mentioned before at the beginning, when you mentioned low VOCs or no VOCs, paint, it didn't seem like you need to paint, but you might want to put your logo up. You could even adorn the space with some artwork, you know, specific to, you know, your interests. Could be sports or it could be, you know, whatever.
You got some old posters in the garage. I've got Pele. We got one of Pele, believe it or not. We've got one of the Godfather. We have one of Rocky at the top of the steps, but I think
there
JoJo tipped that.
Arnold Schwarzenegger somewhere.
there might be. And I've got a Messier one. Speaking of Messier, hold on a sec. So tonight the Rangers are playing Toronto. So you're going to tune into that?
Sure.
All right, cool. I'll try to listen to it on the NHL radio over the internet while I'm cooking dinner later. Well, actually, it started already. Started half an hour ago. good stuff. All right. So a few more things before we wrap up. Awesome info, by the way, on the home gym stuff. I know we're going to be circling back on this in the future. I think more people are going to want
more info on home gym scenarios and creating good spaces for themselves. So two, maybe three questions here. When you go now, of course, like the people I've worked with up there, the people you work with, they all have money, for lack of a better word. The odd thing is some people, we go to their house, they have full blown gyms, right? They've spent no shortage of money to put whatever they want into the gym space. Other people, oddly, they'll have a 5,000 square foot house loaded with hundreds of thousands of dollars of stuff. And there's no gym room.
Yeah.
Right? There's no fitness room. And they'll say, well, I'm ready to hire you. You know, price not an option, whatever. And you're like, okay, what kind of space do we have? I don't know. I haven't thought about that. And you have to figure out where they're going to work out, right? Where you're going to train them. So what do you typically do in a situation like that? And what's the bare minimum that you have somebody get started with?
Yeah. The truth is you really don't need a lot of space. I've worked, you know, you mentioned the big spaces that I said are comparable to commercial gym. But I've also worked with people in a small den, and maybe have had, you know, 6x6, you know, space, mm-hmm. 6x6, right. Square space. And it's sufficient. It's okay. It's not ideal. It's nice to have a little more, but that is perfectly fine.
If you know what you're doing, it's fine.
You have help or you have good resources or knowledge, you know, yeah. You know, that's certainly on the small side, but it's, you know, if you're motivated, you're going to do what you want when you need in the designated space that you've set out, whether it's big or small. So the best thing you could do is make it as inviting as possible.
I'm sorry.
You know, I think, you know, gone are the days where people had the stationary bike next to the sewing machine, you know, and bopped clothes on it. It's, you don't need any of that. And, you know, you just,
Let me ask you this: for the types of people we work with, right? We know we have a timeline progression, right? When we're getting somebody started, we know where we have to start with them. We know where we're eventually going to go with them. But for getting the average person started, what's the bare? If they say, "All right, Dom, give me a shopping list of things I need to get," if they don't say to you, "Okay, I'm going to pay you to go buy the things I need," if they were to say, "Okay, give me a shopping list," and you know, we'll have somebody go pick it up. What are the bare minimum things that you would say, okay, get this, 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 and this, and then can get started?
I would advise someone to get a mat. It might be a yoga mat to, you know, make sure you have enough space where you could lay out and extend your body, arms overhead, you know, full body extension. Yep. If you have enough space to prop a yoga mat down, that's great. A physio ball is something that's great, both therapeutic and for fitness-based exercises. Good. Of course, we all know resistance tubing, many options, as far as tubing.
Yeah, man. Check this out. I don't know if I told you, but we finally found a custom band manufacturer that's making custom length for the Sculptabod units. And they have protective nylon sleeves over them so that when they do snap, because they all snap if you use them eventually. it's contained in the sleeve and nobody gets hurt. Yes. So
bands all the way, of course, now they're, as you said, you just mentioned, so there are different length options. There are also loop bands with, you know, straps for your ankles. You put them around your thighs. Certainly you have many options with the resistance bands. So you have your ball, mat, resistance bands. You know, dumbbells can be great. They're not necessary. Not in phase one.
I mean, you could get them for phase one, but they're not necessary to get somebody going, right?
Suspension trainer, if that was an option, you had the space. You know, there's all different types that attach to, you know, an anchor on a ceiling or a secure, you know, post. Some attach to a door. You know, that's an option. But like staying basic would be a floor mat, a ball, and the resistance bands. I would stay with three. Probably most important things.
Yeah. And then phase two, of course, is definitely ordering a Sculptabod Genius unit.
I mean,
a done deal.
If one could be in every home, it would be great.
Someday, man. Hey, Chuck Norris is freaking like 75. He's wearing a toupee doing those commercials.
No, I wish I had a toupee. I wish I had a sculpted bob.
You don't need a toupee. You got all the freaking hair. I've got like, I got peach fuzz, damn it.
It's thinning, so I keep it long to hide.
I know. Dom's got like, he's got hair of two people on his head, not just one. But yeah, man, Sculpted by Genius, we're on a mission. So eventually everybody will have it in phase two. All right, good stuff. So, okay, so I was talking to Poppy last week. For anybody listening, Poppy is our dad. Sometimes we call him Daddy, Dad, Poppy. The kids call him Poppy, so we usually call him Poppy. So I was talking to Poppy. Now, for anybody who hasn't heard some of my previous stories, our dad got us into all this stuff because it's how he lived. After he retired as a master carpenter, he fulfilled his personal dream of becoming a trainer and then helping other people, which he had done for years anyway, by bringing friends to the gym. We've got some stories there that we could share in the future. And so he's into it now as well. He's training people in his, 72. His own, what is he, 70 now?
Soon to be 73.
72.
Yes, get with it.
Shoot. So he still trains people.
I'm a good son.
I missed the big 7-0. He's a good son for sure. He remembers everything. So I was talking to Poppy last week, and I can't remember if he said you were training some of his clients or one of his clients or vice versa. And he was talking about the people who you designed the gym room for and then did some of the work and then actually put together the whatever gym unit they bought.
It was a space that I built out that it's probably about 10 years ago that I did this space. And
I remember this talking about this
space. I had to revisit. There were some things that needed to be done. And of course, with Daddy's background and his experience and expertise, I tapped into that resource and said, what do you think about, you know, knocking this down? And so that's how that came about. Yeah, it was one of my old clients.
Right. So do you remember the, you don't have to talk about the brand of the gym unit, but do you remember putting that unit together? How long did it take you to put it together?
I honestly don't remember, but it was quite lengthy. Like a few hours? Oh yeah.
Like a few hours?
Yeah.
No, like half a day.
I'm pretty efficient. Yes.
So you're good. I mean, like, no, you're not no. average. So, like,
I mean, you know, it would have cost a lot more money to have someone assemble it, you know, if you order a piece like this. Right. But I think the average person would not opt to put it together to save that money because it would be a headache and, you know, quite possibly, you know, making many mistakes along the way. Yeah.
Oh shit! Yeah. So anyway, so you're mechanically inclined. You've taken shit apart, put it together. Dom's been into building stuff his whole life. He was the one who always put together radio controlled cars. Actually, I helped you do the RC10. Remember? But you were always tinkering more than I was. Could figure shit out. Make stuff. And so the point I'm trying to make here is that it took Dom several hours, he says, to put together one of these typical large home gyms with all kinds of pieces and nuts and bolts and cables and pulleys. And so if the regular guy or woman was supposed to was attempting to put one of these together, it literally could take half a day to a whole weekend, depending on the brand and the elaborateness of the unit. And so I say this because a lot of times that information is hidden. Like, these companies won't tell you actually how long it's going to take to put together. And so I've been digging and doing more research on this as I'm looking for more and more pros of the Sculpted by Genius over the cons of all of these other things that are out there. And I've spoken to people who've said, you know what, we ordered one of the XYZ, commercial was awesome. It was, you know, just over $3,000. We bought it and I'm like halfway into my freaking Saturday and there's still pieces everywhere. And I'm looking at these directions and I finally had it. As I told my wife, that's it. I'm done. I'm never going to finish this. I don't even know if I'm doing it right. And we shipped it back. My point is that most people, they go through this. They either end up sticking it out, spending a whole Saturday or Sunday or 4 hours on a Friday night, putting something together. And then eventually later realizing it, that nobody's using it anymore, or it's not what they expected, or it doesn't work the way the commercial showed. And they've wasted $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 plus a whole day of their time to have something that they no longer want. Hence it goes to Goodwill, or it goes in the garage sale, or gets donated, or, you know, one of the neighbors takes it.
And I've seen many of these pieces of equipment, even if they were assembled properly some point down the line when they're mechanical and they have cables and many complicated things, and it breaks, that's the end of it. They, you know, they don't want to pay the service to have someone come and, you know, assess it and fix it, or they just no longer use it.
Right.
Sure.
It's an excuse to get rid of it. So that's the point I'm trying to make there, is that I don't know if, we have the video footage. We do have the video footage. I don't know if we made any of it live, but me, JoJo, and Daddy, Poppy, we put those 8 units together in the studio, 8 of them in like a few hours, less than half a day. So we got it down to putting one of them together in about 20 minutes. And I did my own in half an hour. When I forgot the first prototype, I did it myself in less than half an hour. And so, you know, the another one of the pros. The other pro is probably do a lifetime warranty on it, because it's, you know, it's basically all fixed structural, no cables, no pulleys, no moving parts, no weight stacks. Then we got some other pros versus the cons over the other stuff that we'll be bringing out and sharing as time progresses. And we have the first production run made for everybody. What was the other thing I was going to say? I think that's it, man. I think it's about freaking dinner time, right? Wait, so I told you I was going to do this, right? And then one more.
Love
of these.
It.
Yeah. All right. So, a lot of good stuff there. We're going to have to revisit this for sure to get deeper into the home gym rabbit hole and share more with people. If anybody has questions on anything we spoke about, number one, you can come to thejoeyatlas.com, post on one of the blog posts in the upper right corner, click on blog, post at the bottom of any post. You could get me through the contact form. Even though that also goes to my assistant, I will also see a copy of it. Or come get me on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/JoeyAtlasFitness, all one word. If anybody wants to get in touch with Dominic, if you're up in the Northeast around Rye Brook, Port Chester, Greenwich, Scarsdale, Larchmont, Rye Neck, White Plains, anywhere in that vicinity, and you want to try to see if Dom has time to give you some of his expertise in setting up your home or office space for fitness success for you and your family, or if you want him to try to get you in for regular and consistent training, that might be a possibility depending on his future plans. Just get in touch with me and I will connect you. Likewise, if anybody else around the country, around the world, wants to bring either, maybe both of us over. If you are one of those high earners and money's no problem for you and time is your most valuable asset and you want us involved in your project, whether it's at your primary home or the vacation home or the home in Europe or the office headquarters or the office overseas, if you want us to do some planning, coordinating and implementing and coaching, we can surely coordinate that. If a few factors fall into line for us. So please reach out. You know where to find me. And anybody listening who is new to the podcast, thanks for tuning in. This is the long-awaited episode number 11. 12, 13, 14 will be coming in the next few weeks and months as time progresses. Dom is going to be back, I have a feeling, for more episodes. May not even be just home gym stuff. It may be foods, maybe recipes, it may be other things that we come up with. But I want to direct anybody who is new to go get your free materials. I've got a series of free programs. You'll get a video every day, or actually 2 videos every day for about a week to start with. You can go to thejoeyatlas.com. You will see it right on the homepage where to sign up for the free Fit for Life program. Do that, share it, get started. All you need is some space in your house or your office, and that is your phase one program. No charge, totally free. Lots of time, energy, and effort went into that stuff, and it's our gift to share with you. Dom, do you have any parting words you'd like to say before we roll in the outgoing music here, which is going to start
thank
shortly?
Thank you for having me. This was fun, exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing your space when it's completed, and maybe we've inspired some others to, you know, throw out some of their garbage and crap and things they don't need, and think about dedicating a space for themselves to, you know, work on their health and fitness, having their own little spot. So, you know, certainly a ton of information. We could go on and on, but hopefully this was a good start in helping you and some others. So love to be back. Certainly many other things to talk about.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
We will for sure. We'll definitely do more. Anybody who has any ideas, if you have something you'd like to hear us specifically talk about, please chime in. You know where to get me. We actually held the humor quite low tonight. We can get pretty silly, pretty humorous, which you'll see in the future when we reconnect here. But anyway, share this with anybody you know. The further this gets, the more it helps us. The easier it is for us to do more of these, because we know you want it. We know other people want it. It's our mission, our passion to help people basically just live a better, longer life through proper habits of fitness, nutrition, and mindset. So, Dom, I'll talk to you soon. Have a good night. Give my love to the girls, Sophia and Lizzie. And everybody, thanks for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in specifically.
Awesome.
And we'll see you on the next show.